Good morning. On this very close to the end of June 2018, I remember when I was very little, must have been 6 or 7, and I was so afraid by the sounds that came from my basement in my parents' house in Connecticut. They were first almost like a banging sound that I could hear 3 floors up. My basement was below the first floor. On the first floor was the main living, the kitchen, living room, dining room. And I, my brother, sister, and parents slept on the very next floor, the second floor, or the 2 floors up from the basement. I could hear the clanging in my wall. And at first I just thought it was something in my wall, and that scared me enough. And maybe that's where I should tell my story. But I was terrified of going into the basement because of those sounds, the clanging and the banging. It took me years before I realized it was the sound of the broiler. The broiler in our basement was a big, almost round, like the Michelin Man, kind of multiple glob piece of equipment that was connected to the gas that boiled water, that sent steam through the pipes of our house, that made the pipes in our walls and our radiators clang. In some, I had no perspective. Can you imagine something in your life now? Maybe it's trivial. Maybe it's an argument you had with someone at work. Maybe it's an email chain with a client or a customer or a partner. Or maybe it's an argument you having or had with someone in your family, someone you love, that triggers you. And the texts are just being volleyed back, ping pong. Did this happen? Did that happen? Lots of drama. Can you put yourself there? And as you do, I'd like you to put your hand on your chest so that your maybe your right hand or even your left hand is your thumb is on one side of your throat and your fingers are on the other side of your chest. Like, you know, like if you were to make a shadow dove, you know, you have your thumb out and your fingers straight, feeling right below your neck. Well, when I think about being a young boy, being afraid of the basement, I can feel the tension right at the base of my neck. And it's obviously much less now. Not obviously, but it is much less now. But what I'd like to talk to you about today is what Tara Brach talked about this week. You are not your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. How do we snap out of the trance that we're in from our thoughts? And I'm not going to talk the whole time because I want you to spend time exploring this. But what Tara reminded me and what I want to focus in on is inside our brains, there's a place where our thoughts come from, where they originate. When I was meditating after a few years, I felt it was coming from the left side. What that means is when I would close my eyes, I would see thoughts originate off to the left, right about the same line as my eyes, but off to my left, right maybe just before the end of my left eye. eyelid, eyelash. There's a place in your mind where your thoughts come from, and right in front of those thoughts are filters. Joyful filters, fearful and sad, frightened filters, happy filters, laughter filters, filters with colors, filters with temperature, filters with filters, but filters nonetheless. How do we first see those filters and the origins of our thoughts? Well, I think by meditating. And once we see that there is a place that's just spitting out thoughts, regardless of what's happening in our actual life, that's the key, that our thoughts are not our actual life. We're actually sitting or standing in a physical place, that's our actual life, with someone, maybe, or alone, that's our actual life, dressed somehow or undressed. As Richard Rohr talks about, the goal of the contemplative mind is to see things as they are. See things as they are. Seeing is a sense. Not to interpret it, narrate it, judge it. That's a filter. Very hard. So, how can we spend the next 10 minutes snapping ourselves out of it? One technique I'd like you to try is by having your hand right at the base of your neck. If that isn't comfortable, another technique that I like is to take my right thumb and place it in the center of my open left palm and place it there. Place it there so that I can feel the warmth of my right thumb by my left palm, or maybe your right thumb can feel the warmth of your left palm. Just touch them. Don't force them to each other. Just see what you can feel. This is your physical self. This is what's actually happening. Because when we snap ourselves out of the trance of being wrapped up in the fear of the clanging inside the walls or the clangings in the basement or whatever has you wrapped up in your emails, in your texts, and in your thoughts, it's the physical self somehow snapping us into the here and now. So for the first part, as we inhale, and I did say I wasn't going to talk the whole time, and I'm sure you're laughing. Maybe you're at least smiling. I want you to inhale through your nose. Hold it for a moment and exhale through your mouth. And I want you to first start with a loving kindness meditation to yourself, which I'll start for you. I wish you loving kindness. I wish you to be well and strong. I wish you to feel safe and protected. And I wish you to be happy. I'll be back in a few moments. Do the loving kindness meditation as you breathe. As your mind wanders, do your ears hear sound? as you breathe? Can you feel if you're putting your hand on your upper chest, or you're putting your thumb against your palm, or your hands are somewhere else on your body? Do your hands feel your body? As you inhale and exhale, do you feel or hear your stomach grumble? It's so easy for us to see others, and yet not easy for us to see ourselves. Tara told this great story about this little girl who was drawing. And it reminded me, she was drawing on a big piece of paper, it reminded me of, if you ever lived in an age where we used a typewriter, and you ran out of paper, or you were typing, and you literally typed off the right side or even the bottom of the page. You had no perspective, because you're sitting so close to that page, you can't even tell that you're almost done. What would you need to do in order to have seen that? Well, if somebody was sitting behind you and watching, that somebody in real life doesn't exist except for us. How do we have perspective for ourselves to see that behind the door, which has scary sounds coming from it, is a field of beautiful flowers? How do we know that behind the thoughts of fearful rejection in meeting someone, that we turn to the left after the meeting and find a new customer, a new prospect, a new friend, a new lover? Perspective. How do we know when thoughts race in our minds about a possible sickness, from a pain in our body somewhere, thoughts grow that pain into story beyond the pain itself. We hope a doctor or a test will confirm that it isn't what we fear. Perspective is very hard for ourselves. How do we see ourselves as we are? And what do we do when what we are is not what we want? Well, we can't sail a boat unless we know where are the sails. We can't. We can't. So we first must take inventory, even if our sails are torn and our rudder broken. Think about how fast we can resource a fixed rudder. Somehow our faith in ourselves shows up when we actually have something broken. We are not our thoughts. We are not our thoughts. It's not to say that our thoughts are all bad, but what our thoughts often do is they're like airbags protecting us from hurt. And they shelter us and filter us and block us from what pain we must feel to be here, because the pain is here. It's the suffering that brings joy. And it's this belief somehow we can outthink the suffering or the pain. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, as Richard Rohr says, seeing yourself as you are is going to put you in a joyful place all the time. But so many of us have a chair to sit in, have a hand to hold, someone else's hand to hold, someone we love, someone who loves us. We have eyes to see, skies and birds, and ears to hear. And even if we lack money to go buy that thing or go to that place, we have enough to actually smile from the abundance that's right here. I don't think it's naive. I don't think it's somehow pretend to feel abundance from that cool breeze that blows across your face, or the feeling of sand on your toes, or the feeling of a hand of another who cares for you or you care for, or the feeling of reading a book and the adventure. Our thoughts are not our reality. Our thoughts are not how things are. And one way you know that is when you ask someone to tell you what good things they see in you. All you need to do is hear one good thing to know that they see you in that goodness as a truth which is different from your thoughts. What do you see good in them? You will find what you see good in them is not what is in their thoughts. As we inhale and exhale, and as this meditation comes to a close, I'd like you on your own to feel your body with your hand on your chest, your thumb in your palm, your hand somewhere else touching your body. This is as you are. This is what is happening now. And although the thoughts in your mind have you believing that it is the thoughts that are your reality, you are sitting here now with your hand touching your body, your thumb touching your palm, or your hand on your chest. And you can snap yourself out of the trance, even for a moment, and maybe see the awe of your surrounds as they are and as you are in them. Have a great day.